right now, it's about authenticity and honesty, not about professionalism. So the winners are not going to be the people who just have the knockout, coolest graphics, awesome videos, stuff like that. Even though, you know, you might follow them on whatever social media for inspiration and stuff, for the look of whatever. But students right now are craving community. There's entertainment everywhere, but community is in so few places. And so I think that's huge to remember. It's about being honest and authentic.
Helping student ministry leaders grow themselves, their students, and their community in Christ. This is First Priority. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Cherico and Brad Skelling.
Welcome back, everybody, to the First Priority Podcast. We are glad that you are here. I am Brad, and I'm here today with Steve Cherico.
What's up, Brad?
How are you today, Steve?
Good, man. Good to be on a podcast with you again.
It is good. We did miss a couple weeks, but that is okay. We are excited. I am excited for our audience to hear this interview that you have today with Bryson.
Yeah, Bryson's a good dude that I've known for about 5 years now, and you'll find in the midst of it, he happens to be my kid's youth pastor, but that's not what drew me to this conversation. What drew me to it was the more he and I were talking about all the youth ministers out there that he was talking to about, man, how do you do youth ministry right now? It just drew me to, man, we got to have a conversation, because he's really done a lot of research and then put it into practice. It's pretty cool.
I would agree, having had the privilege already to listen in on what you two talked about. It's very practical. It's very for the moment, and much like First Priority Virtual Clubs, I think it will help alter and shift some of the leadership development and even audiences that we share with in the future as well. So it's good stuff.
That's a good word. Well, let's get after it, Brad.
Sounds good.
Well, as Brad mentioned, we have the good fortune of being on the line with my son's youth pastor, Mr. Bryson Brecky, who has been around a local church here in Nashville for a good period of time. And as he and his wife, Rachel, are our youth pastors at our local church. And as we dug into, man, what's really going on in the world today, I figured this is as good a conversation as any in terms of what youth pastors can do with tools and ways they can keep up with their students. So Bryson, thanks for jumping in today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to have this conversation. Like you said, it's much needed, and I think that I've had this conversation with so many other youth pastors that if we can, help some people do youth ministry right now, then it's a worthy use of our time.
It is. It's pretty huge right now. There are a lot of folks looking for resources and looking for somebody to help them through the weeds, which I think you can do. Bryson, you're at Bethel World Outreach here in Nashville. Do you want to give us a little background of who you are and who you're connected to, and just how you got into youth ministry?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much a kid who never graduated youth group. I was involved, you know, middle school and high school in my church. I grew up in Washington State, so I was involved in our youth ministry there. And then when I graduated there, I started serving there and was doing worship for our youth ministry. Then in 2013, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and immediately got plugged in serving in the youth ministry there. I was our eighth grade guys small group leader, and that to this day might be my favorite role that I've had in youth ministry.
That's great.
Just serving those eighth grade guys and doing worship as well. And as time went on, there's just other opportunities for leadership that were given, where for a few years I played kind of the role of assistant youth pastor without that title. And then since 2018, I've been the youth pastor. And so I've been at our church doing youth ministry for 7 years, which is crazy. Awesome. So I've seen a couple different classes all the way from 7th grade through 12th grade. And so hopefully seeing many more. I'm just like everybody else probably on this podcast that's trying to navigate what youth ministry looks like in 2020, because we all know it doesn't look like youth ministry looked in 2010 or the year 2000 or 1990. And especially in these unprecedented times, it looks different than any youth pastor has ever had to navigate.
Bryson, the reason we invited you into this conversation is you kept saying in our one-on-one conversations, I've been talking to a lot of people. I've been talking to people from across the country, and here's a tool and there's a tool. So let's dig in a little bit with, you already had a pretty strong social media online presence. Talk a little bit about what kind of your first game was as you realized, man, I'm going to have to switch things up. Where did you start with all this?
Yeah, we had, compared to other church ministries, and I'm sure at your church as well, whoever's listening, we have a little bit of an advantage because the generation we serve are already digital natives. It's not hard for them to adapt to being on an online platform where other people are still learning how to do that. But for us, when it comes to social media, we started to ask the questions, where are our students hanging out and how can we use that? And so one of the most diverse ones that we started using was Instagram. And so Instagram is where most of our stuff happens. And so it's kind of almost the lifeblood. We use Facebook mainly for parent communication because most of our parents follow our Facebook page. And so we're aware of our audience on there. And so the interaction there is very informational rather than engagement and things like that. But we're making sure that social media for us is something that students can participate in rather than just view, which I think is going to be a recurring theme in this conversation, is creating opportunities for engagement rather than just entertainment. And then also, it's a temptation, I think, for so many ministries to use Instagram or social media as just a digital bulletin board. Here's what's coming up. Here's what you should do. Here's why you should think that we're awesome. Here's the next event or camp or whatever. Then it just, your feed just looks like a billboard of everything that people should do or everything they should know about you. But really, for this generation, it's an opportunity for engagement and for dialogue. So almost every day we're asking questions. Sometimes they're fun and silly. Sometimes they're a little bit more serious. And so just making sure that whatever platform you use, it's something that people can engage with rather than just be entertained by.
Which is really good. Let's dig a little bit on the IG side without getting too technical, but you know, you're using IG a few different ways, but all of it is interactive. Can you give us an example of one of the ways that you've jumped into Instagram with your leaders and then gotten students to really comment and discuss it with you or be a part of it?
Yeah. So, we're always asking ourselves, how can, you know, a student engage with this? And so a few things that we do is a couple times a week, we'll go on live, Instagram live. And what we like about Instagram is it's the easiest platform to have two people live at the same time with, where you can do it on other things. But for instance, YouTube, you have to have a couple of different things linked up. And so for someone who's not super savvy in that, it's a little bit more complicated. But Instagram is really straightforward. You go live on your youth ministry's account, and we'll have our leaders or our students, they just request to join, and you approve it. Where the other night, we just went live for about 30 minutes and answered questions. We had students write in questions. We texted them, what do you want to hear about? What do you want to know about? And then we just took 30 minutes, me and one of my adult leaders, and just talked about it. Like, and so it was a time that you can engage with, but also that they had a voice in. So Instagram Live is super helpful. You also can have people engage with like polls, where you say this or that. Like I have one going on right now where we do a Bible study twice a week on YouTube Live, but I want to know, would they prefer it to be on a Zoom call? And then we just upload that to YouTube. And so right now I'm, you know, it's on Instagram on our story, where we use our story for a lot more casual interaction. It's very raw and live. And then our feed is a little bit more quote unquote professional, where that's a well thought out graphic. We don't put in general just an iPhone video or iPhone photo on our feed, but that might just be a preference thing.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I jumped on the other day because I have two of my sons are students in your youth group. And I jumped on with my middle school student. And frankly, as you went into that two-person discussion, just with people allowed to ask questions, I did think there would be a fair amount of kind of just light, you know, what shows are you watching? What movies are you watching? What food do you never want to eat again? And if some of that is my 12-year-old then put in there some crazy stuff. I think he put something like, if you hit yourself as hard as you can and it hurts, are you a wimp? Right. I mean, just classic middle school. And what I was impressed by, Bryson, was there was a little bit of that banter, but there was a ton of, hey, we really do have some questions. And you seem to have lotted out this time for us to ask some really deeper questions and have some honest answers. And I thought you and your youth leader did a great job just really interacting with those and being honest about them, right? Here's honest answer, not perfect religious answer, but honest. So I appreciated and enjoyed that moment as I watched you guys interact with the students.
And I think that's so huge right now where, I mean, UC Youth Ministry is doing stuff so differently where one has this really professional put together thing. Some people they're winning if they just have a Zoom call. But the biggest thing, exactly what you said, is it's about right now, it's about authenticity and honesty, not about professionalism. So the winners, are not going to be the people who just have the knockout, you know, coolest graphics, awesome videos, stuff like that. Even though, you know, you might follow them on whatever social media for inspiration and stuff for the look of whatever. But students right now are craving community. There's entertainment everywhere, but community is in so few places. And so I think that's huge to remember. It's about being honest and authentic.
That's great. So you've talked in depth about Instagram. A lot of people are using Zoom. I don't know that we need to dig into Zoom calls. You are using some Zoom for something?
Yeah, we use Zoom on our Wednesday nights. So we have our service is hosted on YouTube. That we all watch and we like chat with. We host ours as a YouTube premiere so we can have a little bit more just facets with the technology that we have. But a lot of people just use YouTube Live. Either of them you can chat at the same time with and engage with and interact with. And then we end our YouTube service with links to their small group on Zoom, which we have our small group leaders create their 40-minute Zoom session, and they all send me the link that we make available to students.
Are you seeing, and I think this is true with any medium we use, but are you seeing a specific type of student gravitate towards what you're doing right now? Are you seeing a little bit of across the board? Like, is it middle school heavy? Is it high school heavy? What are you seeing in terms of interaction as you have those chats, as you're doing the different things that you do?
Well, with interesting right now, and I think every youth ministry has kind of these tiers of, you have like your student leaders and your super committed people, then you have kind of your the next phase that shows up and they enjoy the content, they enjoy what you're doing, they're not there every week but they're in and out, and then you have kind of the crowd that they show up for the free pizza and the basketball. And so something that's difficult right now, what we've seen, is the crowd, because we don't have free pizza and because we don't have basketball, or whatever the it thing is for your youth ministry. Yeah. That's really the demographic that's been harder to find. So what we did is we, through our church database system, we went ahead and ran a report of all of the students who have been checked in to our youth ministry in the last 3 months, distributed the contact information for their parents and for them to all of our small group leaders to kind of divide and conquer, where all of those students got a text or a phone call, or their parent, you know, got that, to engage them, to have say, okay, well, we don't have basketball, but really when they're craving basketball, they're really craving community, right? They're craving, it's not just basketball. It's not just pizza. And so how can we recreate those interactions in a different way? And so I think, I don't think that totally answers your question. We've sort of been across the board, you know, between middle school, high school, guys, girls.
It does. It's exactly where I wanted you to go. That's great, man. Very appreciative. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, again, you being my kid's youth pastor. The reality is, what makes the local church beautiful is that we are all so unique. Mm-hmm. And yet what makes the local church is that we are all actually the same because we have a unique group of students we're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. Which I think, Bryson, as we start to land this conversation today, really leads me to the question for you. What are you seeing out there that people are doing? I think about, you know, you're a late 20 something. I'm a mid 40 something, right? What are you seeing those of us who are not as technology driven and not on naturally the social media fields? What are you seeing or hearing that they're doing that you're saying, man, that's good for them because at least they're doing something?
Yeah, I think that it's just crazy to me. Like, and you see God's sovereignty in all of this, that he didn't put the church through social distancing at a time that we weren't equipped to have community still. It has never been easier. Anybody with, you don't even need an iPhone, you know, anyone with a desktop that has a webcam on it can go live on Facebook. They can do YouTube Live, or they can do, if they have Instagram, they can do Instagram Live. So all these ways for us to have face-to-face interaction. One of my favorite tools is Marco Polo, and I like that better than FaceTime or Snapchat, because it can be on your schedule. You don't need to set up discipleship appointments. And the other thing is it records everything, which I know is huge when you're having conversations with minors. You have recorded the entire conversation. So should anybody say anything crazy, you know, you can look back at that. But I think any of those are a win. Again, it comes down to having something students can engage with. So Zoom is really easy to use. If you want to go over 40 minutes, it's like $15 a month. I think the biggest question, and whatever your church is doing, maybe it's the most fantastic production, maybe your pastor is on Facebook Live once a week. The question that I'm asking myself is, are we really helping people? Because I'm not trying to build a viewership. I'm trying to make disciples. And so at the end of the day, if we have 10 billion viewers, but these students aren't actually following Jesus, and they're not actually being transformed daily by the word of God, they're not actually being transformed in their pursuit of their faith, then I think we're missing the mark. And all of this stuff is a lot of work. And so I don't want to do all of this work for the sake of an entertaining weekly service. But I think the question is, are we really helping people? And I think the other question that I hope inspires us rather than discourages us, because right now I see so many people in ministry feeling like this is sort of the leftovers or sort of the almost ministry until we get back into real ministry. But we need to remember that God put us here. Like, he's not surprised. He's not taking a time out. And then he's going to come back when we can all be together. But the question that continues to challenge me and inspire me is, what can we do now that we were limited by when we were in person? What can we do through an online platform that we couldn't do in person? And so I think about some of the things that we've been doing that just weren't necessarily available when we weren't all in quarantine. For instance, we do a Bible study twice a week at 8:30 in the morning, where twice a week in a weekday during the school year, when everyone's not social distancing, no one can come to that because they're headed off to school or because they, whatever. We've always been competing as youth ministries since the dawn of time with after-school programs, before-school programs, homework, all of this stuff. But we're in a situation where it looks so different for people now, whatever their school situation is, that we have an opportunity of, for instance, time. Or just asking yourself, I think, I hope it's challenging to you, what can I do with what I have that I couldn't do when we were all together?
That's good, man. Yeah, that's really good. You know, the way this lands then, man, is that what you really just said was, if we're making disciples, then we are supporting parents, right?
Absolutely.
And so everything that you're doing is in partnership with parents. So I love that you've decided, hey, we're going to make sure that we get that content to parents on a Facebook or an email platform. And then we're going to use all the things that are out there, whether it is Marco Polo, which is the video, you know, messaging back and forth, or whether it's Zoom or whether it's Insta or YouTube, whatever you're using. You know, the real question is not, are you busy? The real question is, are you making disciples? And so that's really, really good.
And that's the biggest thing. If I could just say one last thing on the parent,
yeah, please.
Thing, is like, your job in all of this, I think the temptation for us as youth pastors, and I think it's really our ego more than it is our leadership, is to want to be the hero. I want to be the hero in the student's life, you know, but when we can make the parent the hero, oh man, we just won. I mean, we just, yep. That is a slam dunk, because however long they're in your youth ministry or at your church or you're at your church, you know, their parents going to be in their life forever. And whatever we can do to give parents the tools to be the hero in their kids' discipleship journey, we're helping the kids so much. We're helping the parents so much. And there's so many positive repercussions alongside of obviously the kids spiritually growing. You have a parent that's so bought in to what you're doing, because they see that you're invested in their kid. And you're invested in them being invested in their kid. Like, parents aren't against you. Youth pastor, parents are not against you. They're not your enemy. They want your help. And so in this time, I'm so glad you said that, Steve, that we need to be intentional. I just did a video 2 weeks ago that we sent to our parents, just how to help your kid win in quarantine. And it was just a few tips. It wasn't super put together. But it was just, hey, I'm thinking about you. I know it's harder because they're home all the time. Here's a couple tips. And so any sort of thing you can do to help parents is just massive.
It's huge. Well, Bryson, I'm really grateful for your time today and for just letting us in. Again, I know because of firsthand experience with your family how full your world is trying to get all of this together. So thank you for that on the front end. If there are those that want to connect with you or watch and learn or even send some ideas your way, what's the easiest way for someone to connect with you further after this podcast?
Yeah, if you want to see what we're doing youth ministry wise, the best place to look is Instagram, because that has the links to everything that we do. So that's Bethel, BETHEL.YTH. So Bethel Youth. And so that, if you click on our the link in the bio, it goes to a Linktree, which I would also recommend as a great resource, Linktree. And so that has three or four different things where you can go to our YouTube page. Our YouTube page will show you our services that we do on Wednesday nights. But yeah, Instagram would be great. If you DM them, if you DM our youth Instagram account, if I don't read it and respond, someone who's checking it will make sure it gets to me. And so I'll say, you know, that's probably the best spot if you want to get a hold of me to DM that account.
That's great, man. Well, once again, Bryson, thanks for letting us peer into the window for a moment and jump into this conversation. I'm really grateful for you, sir. We'll connect again soon.
Yeah, hope it's helpful for you guys. God bless.
Well, that was a very excellent and very practical conversation, Steve, with Bryson. I'm very encouraged by him being able just to articulate, just to put to words what a lot of people are going through, to find some commonality, I think, for everybody, and even some tips and tricks weaved in and out through it all.
Brad, I agree. What I really enjoyed about Bryson's discussion or what he had for us was really just, hey, these are the things I'm doing. He didn't dive too deep into it, but one of the things I mentioned earlier that drew me to it was he has had tons of conversations with youth ministers, just really trying to navigate what works and what doesn't right now, and not change for the change, for the reason of change, but change with the median in order to reach the students. And I loved his heart at the end of it. You know, if we're doing all of this and it's just so we can say we check this off, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. But there's lots of good reasons to be doing it.
Well, I really liked too how he just laid it out, just Instagram for this and Facebook for that and Zoom for that, and and just try not to overcomplicate things. Sometimes, I think it was said in the interview, we just think too much about things. And or maybe that was something earlier today I was listening to. But either way, sometimes we just try to overthink it and just keep it simple, keep it straightforward, get the information to people, interact with people, communicate with them. And I loved what he said. Parents are not against you. They are for you. We are on the same team together. And let's try to disciple a group, a generation of students.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wrap, Brad. Another week in the books.
Thanks for leading that interview. And I hope everyone enjoyed the moment. If you haven't taken a chance already, please like, follow, and share. Along with First Party of America and First Party Greater Nashville, we appreciate that and all the interaction we get on the socials and the websites and everything in between. So we appreciate you for listening and for growing together. And I don't know what else. So we'll end it there.
Yes, sir. Well said.
Or something. Have a good week.
You too, man. We'll see you next week.